So how would you rate your week, Christmas weekend so far? Your Christmas week and weekend so far. Would you, if you had to give it a thumbs up, thumbs down, somewhere in the middle, how would you rank it? Thumbs up, fantastic? Or ho-hum, meh? Or has it felt more like a Scrooge-like nightmare? Let's be honest. Christmas rarely turns out exactly like you planned, right? Cats knock ornaments off the tree. Cats knock trees over. Kids get sick. Big kids get sick. Pies burn. Sisters end up squabbling. Forecasted snow fails to fall, or it's just not even forecasted at all, like our area, right? It's just, going to be 60 degrees. Wonderful. Santa doesn't bring you exactly what you asked for. He brings you dress shoes instead of new Nikes like you wanted. You know, things like that happen quite often. The big day brings big surprises and not always pleasant ones. We end up needing to take new paths we did not anticipate, and that was true for the wise men. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2 and verse 12 shares this. Matthew 2, verse 12 says, "And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route." And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. That same night, surprise! Right after worshiping and giving their royal gifts to the newborn king, their plans got stunningly rearranged. As they slept and dreamed, they were redirected, sent on a detour. Why? Why such rerouting? Our Father God, who knows all hearts, knew Herod's heart. He knew Herod's hard-hearted, enemy-influenced intentions. He knew that his stated aim, "so that I too may go and worship the king," was phony baloney. The Heavenly Father knew that. Our loving Heavenly Father knew that Herod the Great, master of murderous plans, was plotting to snuff out the Holy One. And he knew the wise men would wisely listen to his redirection. Still today, wise ones listen to the Father's redirection. Are you listening? Are you wise to listen to the Heavenly Father's redirection? You know, we don't seem to place much credence today on dreams, do we? Oh, sometimes we share our dreams with others, recounting them as bizarre, funny, or even troubling. But we seldom emphasize them as significant or prophetic even. We're more likely to have a dream and go, "Oh boy, that must have been interesting effect from pizza last night." But we often don't place much stock in them. I mean, after all, to do so would tag us as spooky Christians. After all, we live in a sophisticated age of science and technology and learning. We tend to think we certainly know better. However, the Bible tells us of numerous instances where God used dreams to speak to people. Matthew's gospel right here. Chapters 1 and 2 tell us of several very important dreams, including the wise men, as well as Jesus' earthly father, Joseph. So right here in Matthew 1 and verse 20, we see a dream to Joseph that gets his attention and tells him to follow through with taking Mary as his wife. And that dream helps unfold, well, Advent as we know it. And then, as we're going to see in a few minutes, in chapter 2 and verse 13, there's this other very significant dream to Joseph, giving he and Mary and the baby king redirection. Now, I don't think every dream is a special one sent from God. Sometimes it is just an outrageous amount of pizza you ate the night before. But I do wonder. I wonder if we should pay closer attention to some dreams. Maybe a few dreams are special gifts from God. After all, Matthew and other scriptures tell us of such very significant dreams and momentum, life momentum, new levels of faith, new walks of obedience as a result. So where did they go? The Magi, where did they go? We can't help but wonder where the wise men headed. Speculation abounds. Some say they headed north into Damascus, north of Israel. Perhaps they stopped prior to returning to their own country and spent time in the Essene community. The Essenes, those primarily curators of the Dead Sea Scrolls, as we know that library at Qumran to be. There are scholars who note potential Magi influence among the Essenes. Some propose that if these Magi were from Arabia, their influence may have been felt several decades later by the Apostle Paul during his stay in Arabia. Galatians 1:17-18 spotlight the fact that St. Paul spent time in Arabia. Truth be told, we're not really certain. D.A. Carson says, which way the Magi went is unclear. They might have gone around the north end of the Dead Sea, avoiding Jerusalem, or they might have gone around the south end of the sea. We really don't know. What we do recognize with certainty is divine guidance via warning in this dream. Divine guidance. So mark it down. The Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, was giving divine guidance to work his divine protection for his Holy Son, the Son of God, the baby King, Jesus. So as a result, God's Holy Son, King Jesus, could know protection because of the Magi's redirection on their journey. Jesus came to know protection because of such redirection. It's good for us to realize that our Heavenly Father often works that way. His redirection in your life may turn out to be protection or even some new motivation and propelling you forward in your faith journey. What might suddenly seem like, oh, yipes, I'm being rerouted, I'm on a detour, oh, yipes, might actually be his protection and redirection for the sake of fresh motivation and new momentum on your own faith journey. Are you open to that this season? Are you open to that going into 2022? Such redirection on your journey. I invite you to watch how one of the wise men might have reflected on those profound events. Take a look. This king deserves every ounce of obedience we can give. Are you ready to follow him? Ready to follow him into 2022 with all your heart? You know, it's healthy. It's really healthy for us to sense the wise one's continued sentness. Sentness from the Father. They're sensing God's leading each step on their journey. They are following his purposes. We might even confidently say they're following his mission to more and more people. All sorts of people in all sorts of places. His mission to the nations. Recall again one of Matthew, the gospel writer Matthew's unique purposes, very unique purposes, is to include God's call for the Gentiles. And so these wise ones from eastern lands are deliberately placed in the story early on to represent people from a whole kaleidoscope of cultures and backgrounds and places and faces and likes and dislikes and cultures. And it's an amazing thing that these foreigners, these Gentiles, are placed right at the front of the New Testament, right at the front of Matthew's gospel, very deliberately, to give us windows into how God is now in his new covenant, moving and stirring toward more people in more places. And then he turns around after they have found the baby king and sends them out in new directions. We also dare not miss that while Matthew's gospel launches with such incredible, beautiful inclusion of more people from more in unique places, his gospel ends with that call to his disciples to follow on mission. So in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, we're told, as you're going, make disciples of all different peoples in all different places. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptizing them in that name we sang about earlier, that wonderful, glorious name, the name of Jesus. Make disciples. To whom are you sent? This is a great time here at Christmas time and launching into 2022. It is a great time to consider that question. To whom are you sent? Prepare thyself. Seriously, prepare thyself. If you found the baby Jesus you're searching for, and many of you have shared that you have, many of you, if you were here for Christmas Eve services, you heard that challenge to say yes to Jesus, and there were dozens and dozens of stars given as gifts to the baby king. Many of you indicated a yes, some kind of a personal deep decision, yes for King Jesus, and that's wonderful. That is wonderful. That's fantastic. If that's you this season, that's wonderful. We celebrate with you that yes to King Jesus. We celebrate big time. You need to know that you're with that yes, with that discovery, with that searching and then finding of King Jesus, you're also now being redirected and rerouted in new directions. So get ready. Typically, when people search and find Jesus, their lives get redirected. You'll definitely be redirected in your attitudes. It will become a daily redirection of attitude. We all need that. This start of the New Year series Brian mentioned earlier, Untangling Anxiety, is really all about finding Jesus' truth, discovering Jesus, new roads, new rhythms toward a better way of thinking, a healthier way of feeling, a better, healthier way of doing life. See, as we hear Jesus' instructions, we're going to discover together what it means to untangle that mess of daily worries and fears and anxious thoughts that can so easily tangle us up in life. So get ready. We're going to be redirected in our attitudes. Yes, out with the old, in with the new. You'll also be redirected in your priorities. What matters most? When you find King Jesus, he will mess with your priorities. He will. He will take you on new roads, new attitudes, yes, and new priorities. What matters most? And a lot of us right now, more than ever, are asking those kinds of questions. What really matters most? Realizing afresh and anew our own frailty as humans and the uncertainty of life, we find ourselves probably like no other time in our existence asking those bigger questions. What matters most? Get ready. Get ready. When you search and you truly find King Jesus, you get redirected in your priorities. You'll be redirected in your life purposes and passions. You'll be redirected in your pursuits. What are you really chasing? We're all chasing something. We all are. What are you really chasing after? That's going to get redirected in your life when you search and you really find King Jesus. You'll be redirected in your adventures. Yes, it's an adventure to go on mission with King Jesus. And you get redirected on that mission, that adventure. And you'll likely be redirected toward wonderful people, probably people you never dreamed. Like if we really lean into what God has in store for us and the rerouting and the detours and the redirection he has for us in 2022, you're probably going to meet some wonderful people you never dreamed you would meet. You are probably going to get opportunities to love like Jesus loves and serve like Jesus serves and share the good news, the glorious gospel of Jesus with people you never dreamed you would because you dared to go on such an adventure with him. So get ready. Get ready to be redirected in both your everyday places and even new places you never imagined, even with new people you never imagined. So you've searched for him. And you've found him, and that is wonderful. That is fantastic. Again, I celebrate with you in that searching and in that finding and in that yes for Jesus. That is so good. And now your biggest Christmas question becomes, will I follow his lead? Will I actually follow his lead? You see, it's one thing to set out on a quest. It's one thing to search to find the king. And it's another thing altogether to, upon finding him, say, oh, okay, and now I will follow him every day, every day, every hour. I will seek to please him. I will seek to obey him. I will seek to honor him. I will seek to learn more and more of his truth and get in proximity with more and more people who are following him so I can follow him better. Will I follow his lead? Will you follow his lead into 2022? Look and listen to how these scenes in Jesus' early life, as recorded by St. Matthew, wrap up. Matthew 2, verses 13 through 15. Listen along. When they had gone, that is the wise men, when the wise men had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, the angel said. Take the child and his mother, escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up. Joseph got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. Out of Egypt I called my son. An ancient prophecy from hundreds of years before. A small package arrived in the mail. It was addressed to my mom, and it traveled from a faraway place. This was many, many years ago. This package arrived in the mail here in the United States. Marked on the package was evidence that it had come from afar, from Cairo, Egypt. Mom was still a young girl at the time. Her aunt and uncle were teachers at the American University of Cairo. She knew the package must contain a very special birthday gift. When she carefully opened it, my grandmother, her mom, my grandma Hall, gasped. It was indeed a unique, special gift. The large Alexandrite gem was gorgeous, and it glistened in the light. It was my mom's birthstone. The cut and color of the stone were fantastic. Mom's mom, my grandmother, admired it, and then she sighed after a few minutes. "It is way too large," she said, "way too large to be set into a ring for a young girl, and we really don't have the money to get it properly set right now. Let's put it in my jewelry box for safekeeping until we can decide the best way to do that, to get it set." So that's exactly what they did. As the years went by, they would periodically take the Alexandrite stone out of Grandma's jewelry box, unwrap it from its tissue paper, and admire it again. Many years went by, and one Christmas season, my grandmother wanted to create a very special surprise gift for my mom. She took the beautiful gem to a couple local jewelry stores and got estimates to have it set into a pendant. The cost still seemed astronomical. And so, alas, she could still not afford to have the work done to set the gorgeous stone. She wrapped it back up in the tissue, zipped it into a compartment inside her purse for safekeeping until she got back home. Sadly, that was the last time they saw Mom's special birthday gift. Over the years, family searched and searched for it in every nook and cranny, and searches always came up empty. After Grandma passed away a few years back, we all kept our eyes open as we sorted through her things she had said over the years. "Now, watch out, look for the Alexandrite stone. It's around here somewhere." No Alexandrite stone to be discovered. We speculated over and over again what might have happened. You know, there are times we search for answers. We search and we search and we search for answers to our life dilemmas with all our hearts, but we never seem to resolve the problem or find the answer or grab the key that unlocks it, though we search and we search. And sometimes we have to be willing to actually let go of something and move on with life and let our faith grow in the process. Sometimes we search and we search and we don't feel like we find, but we dare to believe that something is true, and it's right there our faith can grow. We dare to believe that God will still come through. We dare to believe that his promises are still true. We dare to believe that we have a destiny and a hope and a future, and we cling to that. We cling to the precious promises of the Word of God, even when we don't seem to see what we were so longing to behold with our eyes. That's so much the journey of faith. Sometimes we have to be willing to let go of something and move forward in faith. The truth be told, when we've searched but not found, that the sadness remains, yes, but right there, your faith can grow. There's something so gloriously ironic and sad about how this vignette in Matthew's gospel wraps up. It's both ironic and sad. Across the story, we've noted the contrasts in characters. You can't miss it. We've talked about it a number of times this month. Certain people searching, specifically the wise ones, proved so successful. Yes. They found the one they were seeking. Yes, it's wonderful. But there's one person searching, namely Herod's, that was an utter failure. Of course, such failure to find Jesus proved wonderfully providential. I mean, we dare not miss it. This was all part of the Father's wondrous planning so as to protect his wondrous son, Jesus, the King, the Messiah, the baby King who would grow up to live and work miracles and teach the most amazing life lessons and the glorious gospel of life change, and then would give his life on the cross and be buried and rise again triumphantly, proving to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in his resurrection. He would defy the grave and beat out death and thereby bring to us that confident hope and assurance of new life, of resurrection life, of victory over the grave. All of that and more was wrapped up in the Heavenly Father's protection, even in the failure of Herod in his searching to find and snuff out the Son of God, the Holy One. Such protection, such Heavenly Father's protection was effective to bring us, to bring you, to bring me, to bring all the world, our Savior, the one full of grace and truth, as St. John captures it in John chapter 1, full of grace and truth. So we are able to encounter, we're able to search and able to find that one full of grace and truth. Because of Herod's utter failure, big, fat failure to successfully find the baby King. The one we all so desperately needed to find. For Herod, it was a divinely orchestrated failed search. Big fat F. Don't doubt for a moment, a marvelous failure indeed. However, the actual outcome, destiny for a soul like Herod's is oh so sad. His heart, think about it, his heart was so stuck on his own self-consumed paranoia. He would not give up his throne. He would not lay down his arrogance and his hatefulness, his thirst for revenge, his power, his egomaniac outlook, his all-out pride. And how desperately sad that he would not humbly bow his heart and genuinely, lovingly search for Jesus with the same true motives as the wise men. And so, in Herod's failure, there's a vital message for each of us. Don't stay stuck. Don't stay stuck. Perhaps you're able to say, yes, I found the Jesus I'm searching for this Christmas. Maybe you, like dozens of others on your star on Christmas Eve, said yes and signed your name and gave it to Jesus. And you know with confidence, you know what? I have found him. And again, that's wonderful. We celebrate. We celebrate with you. Maybe you're saying, I'm trusting him truly and worshiping him as my King, absolutely. And I am aiming to follow him on this faith journey, not just here at Christmas time, but into the weeks and months and into the year to come. And I'm grateful. Wonderful. If you're able to say all that and more about finding and following Jesus this season, wonderful. Seriously, I join you, we join you in celebrating such life-changing discovery. And if you're still searching, that's really good too. It is. That is really good. I just want to encourage you to keep searching, but along the way, keep checking your heart. Remember, as we've emphasized across this series, this is a heart journey. This is a soul trek. This is what's taking place in the deep inner recesses of who you are and what you're about on the inside and the kind of person you're becoming. That's where Jesus does his marvelous work in us as we journey toward him. So I want to encourage you to keep searching, but keep checking your heart. Really, don't stay stuck. Don't stay stuck in sluggish apathy. Happy that you gained some cool religious knowledge this season, but otherwise still unmoved by this marvelous, marvelous Jesus. See, there's a real temptation in gaining more knowledge. Many of you have reflected this has been a season in which you've done that. Many of you have shared with me, oh, I gained this insight about the wise men, or I gained this insight about Bethlehem, or this unique insight about the history and times and trends and all that. That's great. But don't let yourself get sluggish and stuck. Glad that you made those intellectual discoveries and miss out on what it means to actually move forward in following Jesus. Don't stay stuck. Don't stay stuck in fear of what other people might think of you if you say you've found him. If you say you're following him and you love him, yeah, they might laugh. They might look at you like, oh, okay, you're one of those Jesus people? Do you really want to live your life constantly based on what somebody else thinks of you? I mean, think about that. Is that any way to actually live life? Don't stay stuck in apprehension over the high cost of following King Jesus. Yes, the cost is high, absolutely. You lay down your own crown. You lay down your rule and reign to let him have his rule and reign, his way and sway in your heart and life. It's a high cost. But in the grand scheme of things, think about it. In the grand scheme of things, you gain real joy. Real joy, deep joy. You gain forgiveness of sins, and we all need forgiveness of sins. When we think about a Savior, when we think about a Redeemer, what is it we need redeemed from and redeemed toward? Oh, we need redeemed from our sins, from our bondage, from our past, and we need redeemed into that newness, that resurrection life he's calling us into. You get to know that sweet, sweet forgiveness, that newness of redemption. Don't stay stuck. Don't stay stuck on the cost. What a gift of the highest value. A gift of the highest value. It's why that name Jesus means the Lord saves. Our Savior, Jesus. And don't stay stuck on this reality. He'll likely call you onto more risky, unknown paths. In fact, some of you know it. You know it. You know it. You've been sensing it. He's calling me into some new adventure, some new path with new people, some new place in and through my workplace or my neighborhood or some new community endeavor. Watch out. Don't get stuck on that. Don't get hung up on that. Don't let such an idea hold you back. Like the Magi of old, it's time to embrace life as the adventure God intended for you to live. And so ponder anew a gift of immense value. Found. The gift of immense value. Found. Okay. I'll let you in on a big family secret. Our Alexandrite stone is worth buku thousands of dollars. For real. We've explored assessment values. Stones, similar size and cut and glisten and gleam, all that jazz. Thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in value. And I'll let you in on one more secret. We've still never found it. We're still looking through grandma's things. I'm so sorry. I know you were hoping for some Christmas miracle wrap up to this story. I'll own it. This is a very sad way to end an Advent series. Trust me, I feel the pain more than you do. Yes, it's really, really sad. Our gem from Egypt, the gift of immense value, got stuck somewhere. It's tucked away, still just waiting to be found. And we'll keep searching. But the truest gem from Egypt, the gift of immense value, the greatest gift of immense value, was called out of Egypt. In the years to come, he fulfilled his father's calling to a T. King Jesus moved back home to Galilee, grew up, worked hard, served thousands of people in his teaching and miracle working. And then he graciously gave his life on the cross. He came out of the land of Egypt. He came out of the land of bondage and death and into new life. The greatest gift. And he's calling each of us today. He's calling each of us today to walk out of death and old life into the newness of his resurrection life, his grave-defying resurrection power. He's calling you. He's calling me. He's calling each of us today to find him and follow him with all our hearts. If you're still apprehensive and feeling stuck, catch this precious, precious promise from the Lord. It's an old, old promise, again, rooted in ancient prophecy, Jeremiah 29 and verse 13. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. You can move forward on your search confident that you will find him. What's keeping you stuck? The team's going to come and lead us in a closing song. And as they're coming, I invite you to stand. Go ahead, stand to your feet. I invite you to stand up. We're going to get ready to sing together. I invite you to ponder and think on it. What might be keeping you stuck right now? And I'll challenge you to pray like this today. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, and I invite you to make an Advent prayer like this your own Advent prayer today. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, I praise you. We praise you that you promised we will find you. Thank you for not staying hidden. We praise you for your gracious love, your rule and reign. Thank you. Help us keep seeking you and finding you more and more and actually following you each day of our lives and into 2022. Lord Jesus, right now we hear your call anew, your message of love, your peace, and we choose again to give you our hearts. Please grant afresh and anew your gracious hope, your forgiveness of our sins, your all-out joy and new life. And we humbly invite you to be king, rule and reign in our lives. With your leading, we want to follow you. We want to give you our hearts, Lord Jesus. Thank you. And perhaps you want to pray like this. I want to sense your leading today, Lord, and in the days to come. Yes, I'll listen through your holy word, your Holy Spirit's promptings, and even in dreams, should you choose to share that way. Please help me, help us. We commit to follow your lead, to be sensitive for your rerouting toward next steps and better purposes. Thank you for the blessedness of your Son this Christmas. Thank you for the joy of finding you. We want to follow you with all our hearts, King Jesus. Amen.